2 Samuel chapter number 19 in the Old Testament, if you have your Bible, or maybe share it with somebody next to you so they can see. Today is National Grandparents Day. That doesn't mean grandparents are seniors. Some grandparents are young. They're in their 30s or 40s, sometimes 50s. And then we also want to take time and honor those that are seniors as we have. And I want to bring a message to especially those of you that are senior citizens today from God's holy word, the Bible. And as I was thinking about an appropriate message that would fit the theme of the day this morning, I looked up the word aged, A-G-E-D, in my Strong's Concordance and Bible dictionary, and I found that there are two men in the Bible who are called aged, and they're both wonderful men who finished strong, and they finished the race. And I want to use one of these men, hopefully, to be an encouragement to you that are seniors to be like him and to finish strong, finish the race that God has set forth for you to run, and not to give up, but to go out the same way that this man went out. Now, both men finished their races. In the Old Testament, we have a story of the first man who is called aged. Now, there's many old people in the Bible, many senior citizens in the Bible. The Bible's a great book for senior citizens. And those of you that are seniors should read the Bible. It's a great book for children. It's a great book for teenagers. It's a great book for young adults. It's a great book for middle age. The Bible is relevant. The Bible is relevant to every person at every age, at every season of life, and whatever decisions they're making, the Bible can be your guide. As the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is the most relevant book on earth today. It's the most alive. It's the most up-to-date. And it works for anyone who works it. And I want to just bring some things to you today about a tremendous, tremendous senior citizen. Now, just because someone is a senior citizen, it doesn't always necessarily mean that they have walked the right path, and I think we should honor them for their age and respect them, as our Lord said. But it says in Proverbs number 16 and verse number 31, the hoary head, that is the gray head, is a crown of honor if it be found in the way of righteousness. If it be found in the way of righteousness. There's some that have gray heads that have not walked the way of righteousness. But here's a man today that we study this morning who did, and his name is Barzillai. Barzillai, and I want to begin reading a story about him in 2 Samuel 19. Notice with me verse 31. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now that's the Jordan River. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, this is my text, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Notice two descriptions of Barzillai, a very aged man and a very great man. Notice both those descriptions of him in verse 32. And that's the title of my message this morning, a very aged man, a very great man. Now, when it says a very great man back then, it meant he was rich. He had a lot of money. He had a lot of possessions. That's what it meant. But I want to kind of give a secondary, maybe, interpretation to that, why this guy was so great. He was a great man, a great senior citizen, and I want to encourage every senior citizen here to use him as a pattern and to go out like him. Let's face it, you're on the last lap. Some people just don't want to face it. Barzillai did. I'm going to show that to you in the Word. There just comes the time in this marathon of life that you get to the last lap. And some of you were track, maybe ran track. I was a track man, ran 5 years of track over at Orchard Park. And And we used to have an event called the Mile. They don't have that anymore. It's all gone metric now, but that was four times around the track. And the race wasn't won by the guy who won the first lap. He'd sprint out like crazy. He'd be like a rabbit, and he'd be burnt out in no time, and people would be passing him, and it wasn't won on the second lap or the third lap. Those races were almost always won on the last lap right near the finish line. So many would maybe go out too strong and didn't have the reserves for the finish line, and they'd slow down or they'd quit. I can't tell you how many races. I never ran the mile. I did all the short stuff. I'm no fool. But I can't tell you how many times I watched that race and saw people just lighten up, slow up just at the end, and have somebody, if you will, take their crown. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live? See? He said, I'm on the last lap. Some people think they're invincible. They just don't want to admit, hey, my life is almost over. Barzillai did. He realized, my time is almost up. How long have I to live? I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just trying to be real. We need to finish strong. How long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. That's 80. And can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little over, way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? We're going to look a little farther into the story here, but I want you to notice some things about Barzillai. He was a Gileadite, which means he had a disadvantage amongst the inhabitants of Israel. He was amongst those that dwelled in Gilead, which was on the east side of the Jordan River. He was of either the tribe of Reuben, Gad, or the half-tribe of Manasseh, the disobedient ones who did not cross the Jordan River back in the days of Moses and Joshua. But they rather chose the land of Gilead because it was well-watered and there was nice plains there and trees there and it was a good place for cattle, and they were cattlemen. And they disobeyed the Lord by not crossing the Jordan River and going over into the promised land. Those were the Gileadites. And Barzillai came from a heritage of disobedient people. But no matter what your heritage is, every one of us can rise above it. No matter what our family did, no matter what their decisions that they made in the past, we can all rise above it and we can be obedient to the Lord. And we can honor the Lord. And it says in Barzillai, the Gileadite came down from Rogam, and notice, and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him, that's King David, over Jordan. Now the story here is right after the rebellion of Absalom. Absalom was King David's son, who stole the hearts of Israel from his father and rebelled against his father and took over the kingdom. And David the king ended up running for his life, crossing Jordan. However, Absalom was then killed in the battle, and he was only mourned for one day. It was the shortest amount of mourning of all the different examples in the Bible. They only mourned one day for the rebel Absalom. And they found his tomb covered by rocks one time. Archaeologists did not long ago, because mothers used to march their little boys down to Absalom's tomb and throw rocks at it to teach them, don't be a rebel. Don't be a rebel. Anyways, Absalom's dead, and now it's time to get King David from out of the wilderness back across the Jordan into his rightful place as the king in Jerusalem. And there's a tremendous train, a tremendous amount of people went with David as they ran for their lives. And now it's time to bring him back over the Jordan River. That was some undertaking. And all the people and all the children and all their possessions. And Barzillai in his old age says, you know, I'm going to help in this matter. I'm going to help the king get to where God wants him to be. Now, this description of Barzillai, in verse 32, it says he was a very aged man. He was a very aged man, and it gives us his age, 80 years old. He was 80 years of age. Now, there is a formula in the Bible that is even true to this day. Very few people break this formula. It says in Psalm 90, in verse number 10, the days of our years are 80 years, that's 60 and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. That formula tells us that God has given to mankind a lifespan of between 70 and, if you're strong, maybe 80 years of age. Now, once in a while, you do meet people in their 80s and in their 90s, and especially in our country with some of the ways they have of keeping people alive and medications and so on and so forth. But they just came out, the Census Bureau, last week with the average lifespan of the American being about 77.7 years of age, and that is actually decreasing a little bit. And so I want to encourage you to take a humble approach to life, and if you're in your 70s or you're in your 80s, you're near eternity. You are near eternity. And Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. And he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Now again, this phrase means that he had a lot of possessions. I just described to you earlier how David had run for his life away from his son Absalom in Absalom's rebellion. And he ran out of Jerusalem and crossed Jordan. He was out in the wilderness with a whole group that was loyal to him. And it says in this verse that back at that time, Barzillai had done something for David. It says he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim. Now turn back to chapter 17, and I want to show you that story. We see three wonderful servants mentioned in verse 27, and one of them is Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogalim. It says in 2 Samuel 17, verse 27, and it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash of Reba, and of the children of Ammon, and Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodibar, and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogalim. Now he's the very great man who has a lot of possessions. Notice what they do now for David and for his multitude running for their life. It says, verse 28, they brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and corn and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Isn't it wonderful when you see a man of means who can identify a need in his day and then meet that need with the possessions that God has blessed him with? I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do and a wonderful example for senior citizens to follow. The old evangelist Lester Roloff said, do your giving while you're living so you'll be knowing where it's going. And the psalmist one time mourned about how all the things he left on earth for others, he didn't know whether people would take care of them. And so we see that Barzillai was great because he was a very generous man, he was a very wealthy man, and he identified a need. And that need was within his power, and he met that need for that person. It wasn't always like this. Not everybody is that way. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. And I want to show you a story of the very opposite. a man, maybe an older man, who was a tightwad and stingy. And his name was Nabal. In 1 Samuel 25 and verses 2 through 3, it says, "And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great." So he has the same description as Barzillai. "And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb." And so we see a very great man named Nabal with tremendous, tremendous possessions, and David again is running for his life, and he sends some of his men to this guy. He says, "You know, I've heard about this guy named Nabal, and we're out here in the wilderness. We're just about starving to death. We're running for our lives. Go ask him if he can help us a little bit." In verse 11, we see the stinginess of Nabal. He says, "Shall I then take of my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed from my sheep shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all these sayings. And David orders his execution. David didn't fool around. He said, "Boy, if this guy's going to be stingy, let's go up there and let's wipe him out." But Abigail, Nabal's wife, stands between the living and the dead there and saves his life. However, he would die later and never ever live to enjoy all the goods that he was saving up for later in his life. Think of the parable our Lord taught about the foolish man who tore down his barns and built bigger. And he said, "Thou, my soul, thou hast many possessions laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And he just packed his barns with things that he was going to live to enjoy. But the Lord said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be?" He said, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Every one of us is either like Nabal or like Barzillai. I hope you are generous. I hope you are the type of a person who realizes, look, everything I have was given to me by God, and if he should call for it, I'd be willing to give it to help someone else. It says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." It is God that gives us the power to go to work and the power get wealth. And everything we have, we ought to be thankful to the Lord for it. And we ought to consider it his and try to use it for his glory. Turn over to Luke chapter 7. We'll be back to Barzillai in a minute. In Luke chapter 7, we see a man who's a patriot, we see a man who's a nationalist, and we see a man who's a philanthropist. And he has this wonderful testimony in the New Testament. It says this about a man, a centurion from Capernaum. What a testimony. Luke 7 and verse 5, it says, "For he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue." Isn't that great? See his patriotism? See his nationalism? See his love for people? "And he hath built us a synagogue." This was a man of means. This was a man who had the means to build a synagogue, which today we would call a church. Of course, it was back then a public meeting place for meetings and church services, as well as government business and so on. But that man left a legacy in his life that outlasted him. He left a place where people in that town could go, and in Capernaum, and I had the privilege one day, my wife and I, of actually standing inside of the ruins of that Capernaum. They're still standing to this day, and are a testimony to that man's generosity and his willingness to want to help. And I want to encourage you to live your life doing those things that will outlast time, and also whatever you and I can do with our finances. Let's give to those things that will outlast time. Things like missions and as we were talking earlier in the announcements, planting churches. I think we have an opportunity here. I'll just throw this out and get back to my message. We have an opportunity here in Angola. There's a wonderful building, 3,700 square foot, and we went in, about a dozen of us yesterday. Every one of us loved it. And we had men analyze the wiring and the plumbing and the air conditioning and the heating. And there's big meeting rooms downstairs and bathrooms downstairs and meeting room upstairs and bathroom and parking for 20 cars on blacktop and a picnic pavilion in the back. And they're asking $50,000 and they'll probably take less. And it would just be almost a dream come true. To be able to walk into that, a place like that, a meeting place like that, and start a church in a needy town. You know, Walmart wants to build over there. They know what they're doing, those people. And we need to be planting churches. And it's my goal, and I've shared this vision with you, to try to start 5 churches along Lake Erie in Angola. I don't know of one single church of any type whatsoever in Derby and Wanaka and Blaisdell and Lackawanna. And those areas are just growing. Walmart wants to build a building in Wanaka. They want to build a building in Angola because they know where the people are. And I believe if we could secure that building, we could do something eternal. We could do something that outlasts time. And I believe we could reach many, many souls for Jesus Christ if there was a lighthouse over there. And Barzillai was the type of a man who saw the need of his day. And he was a very great man, and he took of that sustenance and he provided for David. He literally kept David and his multitude alive so David could someday be brought back to his rightful place on the throne in Jerusalem. And so now, in verse 33, back in our text, I want you to notice a tremendous opportunity that Barzillai refuses. 2 Samuel 19. Verse 33. Notice the character of this man. I believe that we're seeing some reasons why he was a great man. It says, "And the king," this is David, "said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem." How would you like that offer in your old age? Wouldn't that be something? You're 80 years of age. You're starting to lose your senses, according to verse 35. You're starting to lose your taste, your ability to hear. You can't hear singing men or singing women anymore. You can't taste your food. You're beginning to lose your discernment. Verse 35, his mind, he couldn't tell between good and evil. He couldn't remember if he remembered what he thought he said yesterday, that type of thing. That happens in your old age. And the king says, look, why don't you leave Gilead? And why don't you just come and live with me? Why don't you just live with the king, Jerusalem? You talk about a retirement plan set for life. That's offered to him here. But I want you to notice his spirit. Verse 35, I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my Lord the King? This man's going to go out with a sweet spirit about him. So I don't want to be a burden. I've been going to nursing homes for the last 20-some years of my life. I don't know when my wife and I and my children started packing up our car and going to nursing homes, but every Thursday night, for a while we were the only ones doing it. Every Thursday night we'd go to the Lakeshore Nursing Home. We did that for years, and then others began to volunteer and help, and now I'm completely out of it, and Pastor Seth's doing such a great job. I think he had 60 people there the other day, 40, 60 people that go on to word the gospel, and going over to Eden. It's doing such a great, but I remember the time when that was on me, and just going into the nursing homes and seeing the people who had soured, seeing the people who had become bitter, seeing the people who never had any visitors because they had become so nasty in their disposition that even their own kids didn't want to come and see him anymore. Their own grandchildren didn't want to come and see him anymore. And I don't know, I've just been there so many dozens and dozens and dozens of times to nursing homes, hundreds, I don't know how many times I've been in nursing homes. Everybody ought to go to nursing homes, by the way, everybody. Everybody ought to go minister to those people that are that close to eternity. You ought to take your kids, too. Tell them what life is. Teach them how it ends. Nobody's ready to live until they're ready to die. But I've seen sour and nasty people, and I pray and said, "Dear God, don't ever let me get like that. Lord, I don't care how much pain I'm in. I don't care how many trials or tribulations I've gone through. I don't care who's betrayed me or stabbed me in the back. Dear God, I don't want to die that way. I want to go out like Barzillai, who said to the king, 'I don't want to be a burden to you.'" Now, parents, I think, have a right to be a burden to their children in their old age, because their children were a burden to them growing up. They got a right to expect you to take care of them as best you can, and so on. But I like that. I hope I get that way. You know, I love my father-in-law. He was in the hospital all week and he's back at the home now and just to the point beyond our care. So I thank God for experts and everything and taking care of him. But I just love his spirit. I don't know if any of you have been up to see Roy yet, but he just has a good spirit about him. I hope I go out that way. I don't know how much longer he has to go. We were trying to get him to church this morning, but it didn't work out. He's not mobile anymore. He's confined to a wheelchair. But, you know, he just, I think the sweetest times I've had lately is when I've held his hands and said, "Would you pray for me?" And all the sweet prayers he prays. And he just says, you know, to me, "You're doing the Lord's work." And I say, "You know what, Dad, I should come see him more." He says, "But you're doing the Lord's work." He's the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. He really is. And I hope I can go out that way. He says, "You're busy. Don't worry about it." And that's what Barzillai is saying. "Why should I be a burden unto my Lord the King?" Roy's been such a friend all these years in the ministry. Gave me his daughter. Man, I ought to be thankful for that, amen? That's something for a man to give up his daughter. Man, what a blessing. Verse 36, let's finish up, make a few more observations about Barzillai. Seniors, this is an example for you. "Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense at me with such a reward? Why should I be so blessed, sir, to be able to live with you? Let me just get you over the river, get you on your way back to Jerusalem, then I'm going to come back and I'm going to die," verse 37, "in my own country. I want to be buried by my mom and dad." But I want you to notice this right here. We have another character introduced to the story named Chimham. I studied this guy out in the Bible. We know nothing of him except one thing. He's a servant. And Barzillai says to King David, "But behold thy servant Chimham. Let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee." Now here's an extremely rich, well-to-do man named Barzillai. And he has this offer. And the way I picture this story is Chimham just happens to be standing in the right place at the right time. Barzillai probably, you know, slowly turns over and sees Chimham and says, "You know, David, I got this servant here named Chimham." You know what the word servant means in the Bible? It means a slave, a bondman. That's what it means. He turns over and he says, "You know, come to think of that offer you just gave me." He says, "My servant here, Chimham," he says, Why don't you take him? Let him go in my place. And whatever you wanted to do for me, do to him. And the king answered, Shimham, verse 38, shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. The story here is an amazing, I think, picture. I think it's an amazing picture of redemption. I can't imagine Shimham. You know, back then, if they'd had cell phones, can you imagine what he'd have said? Yeah, he'd have got on the cell phone and called mom or dad or something and said, somebody back home, Gilead, Rogelim, wherever he was from, he's probably from Rogelim too, and said, hey, listen, I won't be coming back tonight. And in fact, I'm not going to be there for a while. I mean, what's the deal? What's wrong with you? I'm going to live with the king. I'm going down to Jerusalem. I'm going to live with the king for the rest of my life. Well, how do you rate? Well, you know, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And he tells the story about Barzillai, and Barzillai wants to come back home. He's sending me in his place. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, who is rich, for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And there was one day in my life, see, David is a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. Did you know that? And there was one day in my life where a Barzillai, who had already been saved and inherited all the riches of Jesus Christ, turned to David and said, how about him? And there I was, a sinful little soul, and there you were, a servant, poverty, with nothing to claim, no righteousness of our own. And David said, okay, he can come live with me. You know, the Bible says we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we are introduced to Christ, and we leave our home. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we go down to the king's house and live there. I don't know if you can get the picture here of how rich we are in Christ, but can you imagine Shimham? I searched for Shimham. There's no other mention of him except 435 years later. And in Jeremiah, if you turn there in closing, turn to Jeremiah chapter number 41. Jeremiah 41, and I want you to notice something here. 435 years later, for some reason, the Holy Spirit inspires Jeremiah to record these words about Shimham's history. It says in verse 17, and they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Shimham, which is by Bethlehem. What's the city of Bethlehem called? What's it described as? Described as what? The city of David, the house of bread. That's where Jesus came out of. That's where Jesus was born, in Bethlehem. It's called the city of David, the house of bread. And 435 years later, the only mention we ever have of Shimham is that his descendants are by Bethlehem. Isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? They left Reuben, Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh. They left the rebels. They left the other side of Jordan, crossed over into the promised land, and right by Bethlehem. Because of the desire of Barzillai, Shimham and his descendants would live by the house of bread. Senior citizens, what kind of inheritance are you leaving? Barzillai said, I don't want to be a burden to you, king. I'm short for days. My life's almost over. I'm 80 years of age. But this fella here, he's got decades maybe of life left. Why don't you take him and be a blessing to him? Are you going to leave a blessing? Are you going to leave a blessing? Senior citizens? Are you going to impart a blessing onto others as you prepare to leave? Barzillai was a very aged man, and he was a very great man because he cared about other people. And he wanted to do what he could to leave a blessing on others. I want to encourage you as senior citizens to just take the example of Barzillai. I didn't do a very good job in really going through these verses because of time, but he helped the king. He helped God's man. He helped the kingdom. He helped his country. He was blessed with a lot of sustenance, but he didn't use it on himself. He used it to help multitudes that were needy out in the wilderness as they ran with David for his life. And he didn't want to be a burden to anyone. He wanted to be a blessing. I don't want to be a burden, David. But let me be a blessing to Chimham. Why don't you take him? Why don't you help those that are going to outlive me, that they can have a good future? And Chimham went down, lived by Bethlehem. And 400 some years later is still spoken of as being blessed of God. My senior citizens, friends, we have an aged man who finished strong. Didn't he finish strong? The only other man who's called aged in all the Bible is who? In the New Testament. There's one example in the Old, one example in the New. Who was it in the New Testament? Paul. In the book of Philemon, it talks about the Apostle Paul. And it says this about him, Paul the aged. And here's how he finished. I'll close. He said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Barzillai the aged, our Old Testament example, finished strong. Paul the aged, our New Testament example, finished strong. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And both of these men were a blessing to generations to follow because of the decisions they made in their senior years. I want to encourage you seniors this National Grandparents Day. I think that's why he really was a very great man. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we pray now for the Holy Spirit to work. We pray for people of all ages, maybe that have not come to Jesus Christ yet as their Savior, to come now and receive the Lord. We pray for senior citizens to come and, to just finish strong. If there's any seniors, any grandparents who are beginning to sour towards their children or have a nasty disposition or a complaining spirit, Lord, that they might be released of that today by the power of God and to go out strong, being a blessing and not a burden to others. So have your way, Holy Spirit, we pray in this invitation for Jesus' sake. Amen.